In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Again, welcome to Christ Church. Happy Easter. I hope your Easter has gotten off to a glorious start. Maybe it's gotten off to an anxious start. If you have young children, you just don't ease into Easter Day, especially when the Easter Bunny has come. And no matter who you are, getting dressed and getting a place to park your car and yourself at church is stressful. Not to mention all the stress that we as human beings just carry in with us through these doors. But no matter what state you're in, we're just so glad you're here, whoever you are, because I believe God has an Easter message for you. Easter, like all big holidays, can be an anxious time for people, and the Easter Bunny is no different. I mean, should he hide those eggs in the same spot, switch them up, a lot of pressure. Which leads to the New Yorker cartoon of the Easter Bunny getting psychoanalyzed. And he's after his big night, you know, exhausted night, he's splayed out exhausted on the couch of his shrink. And his shrink says to him, yeah, sure, you did a great job hiding those eggs all over the world. But what's more interesting to me is all the eggs you're hiding from yourself. The Easter day number one, the first one, is off to an anxious start for the three women in the gospel passage. They rise at daybreak. They go to Jesus' tomb to anoint his body with burial spices, but the tomb is sealed by a stone so large that it would take several strong men with equipment to move the stone. And such is the state of the women's mind. They don't really think about that until they're right up next to the tomb, and they think, on the way to the tomb, they think, who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? Lots of anxiety. The tomb, by the way, had never been used. A rich man named Joseph owned it. He provided the tomb for Jesus' burial. Tomb was deluxe. In fact, it had never been used at all. And the fact that it hadn't been used was very rare, since tombs were super expensive and generations of families would use the same tomb. So it was a big deal that Joseph allowed Jesus to use it. And I saw an Easter meme in which Joseph was talking to his friend about letting Jesus use the tomb. And his friend says, Joseph, why did you give your new, expensive, never been used tomb to Jesus? Well, Joseph replies, he said he only needed it for the weekend. The women, however, did not know, remember, or comprehend that Jesus only needed it for the weekend, or that on the third day he would be raised. And who can blame them? Nothing like this had ever happened. The women, by the way, were a lot better off than the men. They were just cowering in an upper room, afraid of being arrested. The women, at least, were doing something. The men were basically useless. But the women were anxious, of course. In fact, the text says they were alarmed, terrified, and afraid. Well, why? The women find the stone rolled back. Whoa, how did that happen? And they see an angel sitting in the tomb. And Jesus is gone. And they don't think, oh gosh, he's been raised. They think, what's happened? Was he stolen? Where's Jesus? Is this the wrong tomb? Who is this angel? Who is this young man in the white robe sitting in this tomb? What is happening? I mean, wouldn't you be freaking out too? And when people, by the way, in the Bible meet angels, they're always just so terrified. And I was just thinking, from the angel's perspective, this must be really annoying. Like, they must be like, stop cowering, people, lighten up. I've got a message to deliver you. And what's the message? Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's been raised. He is not here. It's interesting, the angel is not that all that concerned with how the women are feeling. Now, don't be alarmed, he says, just don't think about that. Just listen, pay attention to the message. Don't get me wrong, being seen and understood and empathized with is important, but there is truth in that Onion headline study. Being truly seen still ranks among worst possible experiences in human existence. We found conclusive evidence that realizing somebody can look past all your protective facade and recognize you for who you are continues to be the most humiliating experience the human psyche can withstand, even outranking the amputation of limbs without anesthetic. So, I mean, sometimes you just need to be delivered from yourself, don't you? Don't you get tired of yourself? You just want to be delivered from yourself so you can hear a message that is good news, like Sam said to our kids. When I was fresh out of seminary, I'd been taught that empathizing with a person is the most important thing that a minister can do. And I visited a lonely and forlorn and actually terminally sick man in just a very awful nursing home. And I wanted him to know that the Bible understood and God understood his experience. So I read to him Psalm 31, which is what they told me to read in seminary. It's a lamentation, Psalm of Lamentation. So I, very earnest, about 31 years old, drew up close to this man's bedside and I began, "I think I know how you feel. Let me just read the Bible. My eye is consumed with sorrow, my throat also in my belly. My life is wasted with grief. I'm forgotten like a dead man, as useless as a broken pot." And I think the man was trying to be kind to me, but when I got to the like useless as a broken pot bit, he just said, "Stop saying that, will you?" It's like the six-fingered man and Princess Bride. "Stop saying that, please, please, please tell me something hopeful. Please tell me something I'm lifting. I don't want to stay in my own state. Please tell me some good news." Well, here's some good news. It's the Easter message. Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. You see, underneath all of our day-to-day stress loom the two deepest existential universal stressors, the fear of sin and the fear of death. You might not be aware of that, but it's true. You might be hiding these terrible eggs from yourself, but they're still hidden away, causing problems needing to be addressed. Like the dying man in the nursing home, you too need good news. And the good news is this: Jesus was crucified to take away the sin of the world. Jesus was crucified to take away your sin. It is over. It is forgiven. It is gone. As if it never happened. And Jesus has been raised. He was raised from death to defeat death. And though even though we die, we shall never die. Sin is forgiven. Death has died. Everlasting yours. Life is yours. In fact, God does know how you feel and knows what you need. Now, the humor in this sermon, if you've been kind enough to call it that, is intentional. Why? Because Easter, you see, it's a big joke. Not a joke like, "Ha, Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, it's all a ruse." No, Easter's a big joke because he really did rise bodily from the dead. And the joke is on sin, and the joke is on the devil, and the joke is on death, who thought victory was assured with each nail in our Lord's hands on Good Friday. But no, he has been raised. He is not here. So God has the last laugh, and we laugh with him. And the joke's on you, death. So death, be not proud, though some have called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. For those whom thou think'st thou dost overthrow, die not, poor death, nor yet canst thou kill me. For he has been raised. Alleluia. Amen.